I want you to take your Bibles and go to Luke 5, and that's the story today that we want to talk about, is that story of Jesus calling some of his 12 disciples. And so take your Bible, go to Luke chapter 5. We're kind of breaking things up. We're going to got some incredible music at the end we're going to do. We're kind of breaking it up, doing a little bit different, changing things up. Instead of doing all the music at the beginning, we're doing a lot of it at the end. So we're going to get right into the message, and then at the end, we've got some great music the band is going to lead us in. But as you're turning to Luke 5, everybody likes to read or see an unlikely success story. You know, a person who really shouldn't have succeeded, but they did. And they not only succeeded, they excelled, you know. And we like to read stories about people like that. We like to see documentaries on TV about unlikely success stories. Well, the 12 disciples that Jesus called, you see four of them that were called here, but the 12 that he called to be his men, his guys, his disciples, they were very unlikely success stories, okay? With Judas Iscariot being the notable exception, okay? But the rest of them, incredibly unlikely success stories. Most of these guys were from Galilee. You say that doesn't mean anything to me. Well, let me bring up a map. Galilee is the northern section up here. You've got, you know, Jerusalem. Here's Bethlehem, where he was born. That's all Judea, southern Israel. Then Samaria is the central part of Israel, the blue. And then the yellow up here is the northern part of Israel. It was called Galilee. And, of course, it was the focus of it was here, the Sea of Galilee, which that doesn't do it justice. It's a huge sea there and lake. And so, you know, up here, this is where most of the guys were all from. Well, that was a very rural agricultural region. That's why most of these guys were fishermen, farmers. We know that many of the 12 came from what we call the shoreline area, which was the area here around the Sea of Galilee. That was the shoreline coastal area of Galilee. And the people who lived and the people who worked in that area were very looked down upon by other Israelites. They were, the people that worked and lived in around the shoreline here, they were seen as less educated, which usually they were. They were looked down upon as lower class, less religious when it came to keeping the law of God, which they were. And yet, this area up here, this is where Jesus kind of made this his home base. We know he was from Nazareth, but they basically booted him out of there. And so this area up here is kind of like where Jesus kind of made the center and home base of his ministry. And that's the area that this text comes from and that you saw pictured in the video. Let's go to Luke 5 and let's read it, okay? Let's read the story. Luke chapter 5, it says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." That's the Sea of Galilee, same thing. "And he saw two ships," Jesus did, "standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them. They were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ship, which was Simon's, Peter's, and he prayed him. He asked him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left or quit speaking, he said to Simon, Peter, he said, 'Launch out into the deep, Peter, and let down your nets for a draught,'" a big catch of fish. "And Simon answering said to him, 'Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net.' And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and the net broke. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, and he said, 'Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord.' For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they'd taken. So was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Fear not, from hereafter you shall catch men.' And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and" what? "And followed him." And so this is where our story comes from. If you look at the map again, you'll notice this city right here, this is where it all happened, Capernaum. And this was kind of the home base. And this area of Capernaum was one of those seaside towns that where Jesus ministered to the, quote, lower class, and that was Jesus, right? He was always reaching out to people that other people looked down on, and yet he would reach out to them and embrace them and change their life. And Jesus is teaching these crowds of people, and four of the eventual 12 were there nearby cleaning their boats, their ships, their nets, their equipment. And it was Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And what I want to really emphasize to you is that these, I'm not kidding, they were just ordinary blue-collar guys, fishermen. They were just like us. And yet Jesus called them to be his disciples, his followers. He's like, come on, I want you to be with me. I want you to be close to me. And my question today is this for you. Do you desire to follow Christ? We sung about it, but is that really in your heart? Do you really want to follow Christ? Do you want to take it to the next level here in 2020? Do you want to really allow Christ to use your life here on this earth to make a difference? Because he's calling, just like he called the 12 and he called them in that, he's calling you. The question is, will you respond? How many of you have ever gotten a call on your cell phone and not answered it? Don't lie in church. Let me go a step further. Confession time. How many of you have ever gotten a call on your cell phone, you knew who it was and didn't answer it? Raise your hand. Okay. Confession's good for the soul, amen? And you notice I like the way Monica, I didn't tell her to do that, she just came up with that, but she's got the cell phone at the top of your handout, you know, and it says Jesus. And it, of course, typifies the calling of Jesus. He's calling you. And you know what? When you get a call on your cell phone and it shows the name shows up, you have a couple choices. You can either answer it, you can hit reject, or you can just silence it. And the question is, Jesus is calling. How are you going to respond? Are you going to answer his calling? Are you going to follow him? Are you going to reject him completely? Are you just maybe going to silence him, you know, and just kind of like, not right now, I don't, you know, maybe later, and you don't want to feel too guilty, so you just silence it? What are you going to do? What does Christ's calling involve? What does it look like? Well, you know what? Hey, how many of you think that we really ought to know what the calling of Christ looks like? We need to know what we're getting into, amen? So what does it look like? What do we learn here in this text? And that's what I want to look at. What does the calling of Christ involve? All right, let me give you the first thing. Number one is that the calling of Christ is really a call to leave your comfort zone. That's the first thing. And I want you to get the scene with me of this text. That's why I showed the video. While videos really can't do things justice, and I don't believe they can, I wanted to show you the video so that you could at least get somewhat of a mental image of what's going on here in our text. Peter and his friends, they've been out all night fishing. They are basically, they're in business together. They are commercial fishermen. That was their job. This isn't a hobby. This isn't something they did on Saturday. This was their job. This is how they put food on the table. Well, that was common in that area of the Sea of Galilee, on the coastal area. And so they are commercial fishermen. That's what they do. And Jesus is teaching these huge crowds of people there by the Sea of Galilee. Peter and his comrades, they're cleaning up everything. They'd been out all night fishing. And so they're doing, if that was your business, then you would do the same thing. You're not going to leave everything dirty. You know, nets that are left wet and that aren't cleaned and aren't dried, they rot. And so as a commercial fisherman, they're doing their duty. They've been out all night, but they're cleaning the boat. They're cleaning the equipment. They're drying and they're cleaning the nets. And then Jesus comes along. And Jesus just kind of commandeers one of the boats for his purposes. And at this point, just so you know, Peter would have been familiar with Christ. He wasn't a complete stranger, all right? Peter had seen Christ once before, at least we know of, maybe more since Jesus ministered in this area. He didn't know him personally. It's not like he had made a decision yet to be his disciple, but he knew of Christ, just didn't know him personally. I wonder what Peter was thinking as he watched. And it appears that at some point, while Jesus is speaking, that Peter gets back into the boat with Jesus. I don't know, maybe he's a little, would you be a little protective of your boat, you think? Some guy gets in your boat? And so he gets in the boat with Jesus. And we know that because then Jesus asked Peter to, hey, I want you to move it out a little bit from the land. Look at verse 3. He says, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, Peter. And he prayed, he asked him that he would thrust out a little bit from the land. And he sat down, Jesus did, and he taught the people out of the ship. So why did he do that? Why did he get in Peter's ship? Why did he want him to go out a little bit from the land? Well, there's a lot of practical reasons why. I mean, obviously, first of all, Jesus wouldn't be crushed by the crowds. There'd create some separation there. Not only that, people could see Jesus better. I don't think that video really does the boats justice. These would have been commercial fishing ships. And so, you know, it would have elevated Jesus where the crowds could see him better. Not only that, they could hear him better, because if you've ever been on the water, say 40 or 50 yards out, you know the people on the shore can hear you perfectly because the water kind of acts as a sounding board as you speak. And so there's a lot of practical reasons why he would have said, Peter, I want you to thrust it out a little bit here from the land. I think more importantly than all those reasons, I think Jesus wanted some personal interaction with Peter. What do you think, huh? I think he wanted to spend a little time with Peter. And, you know, what do you think that Peter was thinking when Jesus said, I want you to take your ship out a little bit from the land? What do you think was going through his mind? I just cleaned this boat. I just got done cleaning it. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I've been up all night. We've caught nothing. I am not in the best of moods right now. I want to go to the house and collapse in bed. You know, how many of you ever just get to the point where you just want to go to the house? Denise will be out shopping, and I'm like, let's go to the house. Well, just a minute. 5 more minutes. Honey, let's go to the house. I just want to go to the house. You know, let's go to the house. And Peter's probably thinking, I just want to go to the house. You know, he lived in Capernaum. He's like, I want to go to the house. I'm tired. This is my boat. Jesus has taken over my boat. I want my boat, right? But yet he obeyed. He did it. And Jesus sits down in the boat and he begins to teach the people some more about God and about the Bible, about the Word of God. Well, I mean, picture he's 40 or 50 yards off the shore. Peter's in the boat with him. How many of you would agree with me? The mental image I get, Peter's a captive audience. Amen? I mean, unless he jumps the boat and swims to shore, he's got a front row seat in the boat, doesn't he? Watching Jesus teach. And so Jesus kind of has a captive audience there in Peter as he's teaching in Peter's boat offshore a little bit. And so Peter, he does it. But then comes the kicker. Look at verse 4. It says, now when he had left or quit speaking, he said to Simon, look at this one, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought. Jesus says, can you imagine this? He's done speaking. Okay, you know, just like church, you guys are dismissed. I'm done teaching. And so the crowd starts to break up. And he looks and he says, launch it back out into the deep, Peter. And when we get there, I'll tell you when to let down your nets. Yeah, you know, the nets that you just dried and cleaned. Yeah, those nets. I want you to let those down into the water. When I tell you, come on, man, let's go out. Let's do some more fishing. Do you think Peter and his partners were beginning to squirm a little bit? How many of you have ever squirmed in church? I'm preaching and you're squirming a little, huh? Gets a little uncomfortable, right? It appears that they were from the text. I mean, they had been fishing all night long. Jesus asks them to do something that they undoubtedly didn't want to do. They've been up all night. And I think they probably found the whole thing ridiculous. But do you know what Peter learned that day? And do you know what Peter would continue to learn after that day? Jesus routinely inconveniences his followers. His main concern up in heaven is not your convenience. Sorry. Did I just let the air out of your bubble? Because that's not his main concern, is your convenience. He has a mission to accomplish. God has a work to do. And it's serious business. And God has to get the message of his son out to this world. And our convenience is not paramount on his list. When a person signs up for the military and they go to boot camp, is the drill sergeant's main concern the convenience of the new recruit? Right. Right. Is the drill sergeant like, we are so glad you are here, and you know, we just really want to make sure that you have a comfortable stay for the next 8 weeks. And we really don't want you to be inconvenienced at all while you're here. No. The drill sergeant has a job to do, and that's to get these recruits ready for battle, to make them soldiers, to turn them into soldiers, to turn them into men and women that are ready for combat, that are ready to go to battle. And their convenience and their comfort is not the number one issue for the drill sergeant. And in the same way, we are soldiers for Jesus Christ. We have a mission. God has a mission that he wants accomplished. He's trying to turn us into soldiers that can make a difference in this world. And his main concern is not our convenience. And it's not our comfort. And Jesus Christ, our leader, sure set the example, didn't he? Christ took that cross. Imagine that. Imagine putting that on your back. And he takes that cross on his back and he carries it up the hill as far as he can. And then he goes up on that hill and they take his body and nail it to that cross and take a crown of big old thorns and just press that down into his skull. And he did that for you and me and he died for our sins. But I want you to know it wasn't comfortable and it wasn't convenient for Christ to do that. Do you want to be a Christ follower? It's a call to leave your comfort zone. We sung the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. It's a call. Listen, I want you to know the Christian life is wonderful, exciting, exhilarating, but it's a call to leave your comfort zone. And you know, some of you in here this morning, where you're at right now in your life is that you are not saved. You have not entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ yet. You're seeking, you're searching, you're looking, you're exploring, you're considering becoming a Christ follower, but you're not there yet. And so Christ is calling you to leave that comfort zone and enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is a decision that you have to make. And some people are like, you know, you ask them, hey, if you died today, do you know for sure that you go to heaven? And they're like, well, I think I'd go to heaven. I think I'm a Christian. That's like me saying, I think I'm married to Denise. I think I am. Well, no, either you are or you aren't. Either I made a decision to marry her or I didn't. You know? Well, tell me, are you a Christian? Oh, well, I've been a Christian my whole life. That's like me saying, I've been married to Denise my whole life. I never can remember a time when I wasn't married to Denise. No. You don't become a Christian that way. Listen, there was a point in time when I made a choice to marry Denise and enter into a covenant relationship of marriage with her. There was a point in time when she asked me to marry her and I said yes. You believe that, Casey? I think I'm stretching the truth up here. What do you all think? I begged her and she said yes. But no, I mean, you get the point. There needs to be a decision time for you when you say, yep, I want Christ. I want him in my life. I want him in my heart. I'm off the fence. I want Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. There's got to come a time when you make that decision. Some of you right now need to leave your comfort zone and you need to make a decision to become a Christ follower. You need to accept him. You need to answer the call. Christ is calling you to be saved. Are you going to answer? Reject? Or silence him? You see, that's some people. Some people are like, I don't want to go to that church anymore. Every time I go to that church, I feel guilty. I'm not going back there no more. That's like hitting the silence button on your phone, right? I'll just hit the silence button. No, Jesus is calling. You need to answer. Some of you are in here and you are saved. You do know Christ. And if I were to ask you, if I were to say, hey, how are you doing in your walk with Christ? You might, and again, you might not, but you might answer me, I'm doing okay. Anybody ever seen the commercial, just okay is not okay? That so applies to this. The commercial of the doctor, you know, the guy's fixing to go in for surgery. He says, so tell me, he asked the nurse, do you know Dr. So-and-so? She said, oh yeah, I know him. He's okay. Just okay? The doctor comes in, hey, I just got reinstated. Hey, how you doing? Tells the patient, hey, you ready to go? You scared? The guy goes, yeah. He goes, eh, me too. Ah, but we'll figure it out. I'll see you in there. And then it says, just okay is not okay. And if I were to say, well, how you doing in your Christian walk? Okay. When are you going to figure it out that just okay is not okay? I'm okay. I'm making it to church most of the time when we don't have more pressing stuff. Yeah, I'm reading my Bible sometimes. I'm praying sometimes. And, you know, I'm generous. I'll have little spurts of generosity. And occasionally I'll serve if there's an event at the church and they need help. I'm doing okay. Just okay? It's not okay. Christ is calling you to go deeper. Christ is calling you to do more. And you know what? You know that. And God's Holy Spirit's already revealed that to you. You know that you can go deeper. You know you can do more. Some of you have been sitting on the shoreline instead of launching out into the deep. And you've been sitting on the shore, you've been sitting on spiritual gifts, sitting on God-given abilities for a long time. And it's time to step out of your comfort zone and use them. If you're going to follow Jesus and be a serious follower of Christ, you got to leave your comfort zone. There's a time to get off the bench and get onto the playing field and get into the game. And in your handout, it says that you're going to see opportunities this year in 2020. You're going to see opportunities to go deeper. You're going to see opportunities for you to really step up and do something significant for Christ. And you're going to have opportunities and you're going to be faced with a decision. And it says in your handout, you're either going to make a choice to stay safe on the shore or launch out into the deep with Jesus. You're going to have to make a choice. And you know, I mean, I look at the handout every week. I see opportunity. I mean, I look at the front of the handout. Some of you, you have been coming to the church for a while now, and you've never made a step to become a member. You're like, I don't want to make that commitment. And you're just kind of like, you come in incognito, and then you leave, and you're like an undercover church attender. undercover. Nobody knows me, and I slip in and I slip out. And it's time to step up as a follower of Christ and say, I need a church home, I need a church family, I need to make a decision, and it's time. Some of you in here, I mean, you look at the back, First Impressions team, and Matt stood up here and said, hey, you know what, we're inviting you. Opportunity. You say, well, I don't know, that might not be convenient. What did I just say? I said that following Christ is a call to leave your comfort zone. And it's not about your convenience. It's about impacting people. And what a difference your smile could make to someone that steps through the door. What a difference it could make if you showed someone where to go and helped them find that place. What a difference it could make if you helped check their children in and were friendly to them. And what a difference it could make if someone who doesn't even know the Lord comes through the door and you, with a smile and a friendly handshake, give them a handout and say, we're glad you're here today. Opportunity. Opportunity to launch out and leave the shoreline. Some of you know that there's someone in your life that you need to share your faith in Christ with. It's a son, a daughter, a granddaughter, a grandson. It's a niece, a nephew. It's an aunt, an uncle. It's a neighbor. It's a coworker. And you know you need to share your faith with them. And you're going to have opportunities to do it. And it's a matter of leaving your comfort zone, leaving the shoreline, and launching out and doing it. You see, if we're going to truly follow Christ and be His disciples, it's a call to leave your comfort zone. I mean, can you imagine Peter, James, and John, and Andrew? Fishing's all they'd ever known. When you saw that video and you saw the guy standing by the boat and he didn't go, that was Zebedee. That was James and John's dad. That's exactly how it happened. They left their dad standing there. They worked with their dad every day. They loved their dad, I'm sure. They worked with him every day. And they left the boats and they left the ships. They left the equipment. They left the nets. They left their dad. And they went and they followed Jesus Christ. You talk about leaving your comfort zone. Maybe, you know, and I'm not saying that's how it's going to look for you, but how does it look for you? Like, what can you do to go deeper this year in 2020? I want you to think on that. What does it look like for you to leave your comfort zone? Some of you have musical abilities, Clayton, and they're sitting on them. Probably some of the best musical talent in the city's out here, and they're sitting on it. And it's time to step up and use it. Some of you have abilities working with children. Some of you have teaching capabilities. Some of you just have a wonderful smile and you could be serving in on the FIT team. And yet you're sitting on those things. You're not using them. And it's time to step up. Steve Daniels over here. I didn't mean to call you out, buddy, and scare you over here. But Steve Daniels is a chiropractor and he wants to start a clinic to help people with chiropractic and medical needs that have no money, no insurance, and no way to get it. He wants to be able to offer that for free to them. He wants to start a new ministry. You know what? He decided last year, okay, I've been on the shore long enough, it's time to launch out. Is it scary? Very scary. And it's a little unknown. But yet he's like, I got to launch out, got to do it. I want to take my abilities and I want to use them for Christ. How does this look like for you? You know, like I said, we've been doing things a little different. We sing a little, but then we get into God's Word, and then we can kind of confirm everything we've learned and hopefully commitments we've made. We can kind of vocalize that in song at the end, which we're going to do in just a minute. Believe it or not, I've been preaching 30 minutes, and I only got through one point. You guys did not listen fast enough today because we're going to have to finish this next week, but that's okay, all right? Well, that's okay. Well, I think that's enough for today, so let's just bow our heads because we're going to do some singing now to end the service.